Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We've got an action-packed hour ahead of us. We're going to touch upon some of the big health stories and nutrition stories of the week. And we invite your phone calls, 877-726-8255. You can participate by calling us at 877-726-TALK, and you can come right into the doctor's office and pose your question. So start dialing. All right. This is your brain on sugar. You remember those ads, you know, this is your brain on heroin, this is your brain on cocaine. Well, I'm going to share with you now one of the first studies. This is a landmark study, just came out this week, which details in a very graphic way what happens to your brain cells when you binge out on sugar. It's an amazing study, and it's a little technical, so let me boil it down for you. It's in a journal called PLOS-1. Which is a very wonky technical journal, fairly highly respected. And its title is a mouthful, and that's not a pun. Binge-like sucrose consumption reduces the dendritic length and complexity of principal neurons in the adolescent rat basolateral amygdala. Okay. So, what in the heck are they talking about? What they're saying here is that when you consume a lot of sugar, and this is a rat study, but it's very persuasive in terms of what happens to the human brain when we binge on sugar. Your brain actually gets rewired. The connections between your brain cells change in a very harmful way. So I'm quoting from the article, a compelling body of evidence suggests that the worldwide obesity epidemic is underpinned by excessive sugar consumption, typified by the modern Western diet. Well, that's a duh, right? Okay, we know that. But they're just starting. Furthermore, evidence is beginning to emerge of maladaptive changes in the reward pathway of the brain in relation to excess sugar consumption. So what they're saying here is that they can look at sugar in some of the same ways that they look at cocaine and heroin and nicotine and amphetamines, that you get hooked. But getting hooked is not just a psychological thing. There's some very, very powerful physiologic changes that occur in the structure of the brain, and they found them in this study. They say that there is overlap between the changes seen by sugar and the changes in the neural circuitry seen with drugs of abuse. So they looked, basically they sliced and diced the brains of these rats. Sorry, animal lovers, I mean, this is the way science proceeds, and like it or not, it can yield some useful conclusions. Our results indicate possibly maladaptive changes to the dendritic architecture. What is that? The dendrites are these little tentacles that the nerve cells put out to communicate with one another. So there are harmful changes in the dendrites. If you go back to high school or college biology, the nerve cells have little dendrites, which are like little tentacles or finger-like protrusions where they connect to one another via synapses. And they see these changes after long-term binge-like sucrose consumption. Moreover, there's a significant reduction in the length and complexity of these dendrites. Well, that's not good. The longer and more complex your dendrites are, the better, because that creates the potential for more and more subtle brain control. So the potential here is that sugar actually can make you dumb because it damages the dendrites, which are essential to nerve transmission. And so they say that consumption of sugar in sweetened foods in humans can cause cravings similar to those produced by addictive substances such as alcohol, nicotine, or cocaine by activating what's called the mesolimbic reward pathway deep in the brain, in the primitive part of the brain. It's not the thinking part of the brain. There is a structure called the amygdala, and the amygdala is associated with emotional memory. Feel good, feel bad, like, dislike, but at a very primitive and visceral level. And what they're seeing is changes in that part of the brain that are identifiable using a high-powered microscope. They use very, very advanced technology to evaluate this. And they say it's possible that these changes in the dendritic morphology seen in our study could mirror the effects seen with drugs of abuse. On and on it goes. And in this study, the rats started consuming sugar in adolescence. Well, how appropriate is that for looking at humans, right? Because that's when human sugar consumption soars, right? You know, kids are on their own. You lose a little control, maybe in your household, you try to limit sugar consumption. But they're out and about. They got free spending money. And they start slugging down the sodas, eating the candy, skipping the school lunch, and their nutrition suffers. So hardwiring of the brain begins early in response to drugs. That's why we want to keep kids off drugs at a very early age, because the brain's still developing. And the suggestion here is that introduction of sugar at high levels may permanently alter the function of the brain and perpetuate cravings for sweets that can last a lifetime. Now, you know who's eyeing this kind of research? Lawyers. There are lawyers lurking out there, licking their chops, because guess what? The sugar industry had better circle the wagons and prepare its legal defenses. Because just like the cigarette industry, tobacco-style litigation may soon be coming your way, Big Sugar, because, well, you think that's far-fetched? Well, think about it. We are establishing, with strong scientific evidence, two principles. First of all, the harmful effects of sugar, which they've denied for so long. Think back. 1960s, tobacco executives summoned to Congress, and they raised their right hands and they swore under oath that they didn't believe that cigarettes were harmful. Fast forward, we now acknowledge that cigarettes are harmful. And, oh, by the way, asked whether cigarettes were addictive. They said, no, there's not a lot of that. It's junk science. There's not a lot of evidence that cigarettes are addictive. Well, think again. Cigarettes, powerfully addictive and harmful. 1 + 1 = 1,000. Those two associations prompted major tobacco litigation, and that could be a template for action against Big Sugar, the beverage industry, and so on. And if you think for a moment that they are not concerned about it, think again, because they are apprehensive that they too will follow in the footsteps of the tobacco industry when studies like this confirm the addictive nature of sugar at the same time that it's got really serious deleterious effects. That's an explosive and combustible mix when it comes to liability, which they may soon encounter to the benefit of the American public, I think. It's high time that we recognize the harmful effects. So, landmark study. This is your brain on sugar, and it ain't pretty. All right. 877-726-TALK is our number. 877-726-8255. Call this time, call now, or call this hour. with your questions related to health and nutrition.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's XLEAR.com. Now go wash your nose.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our Intelligent Medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the Intelligent Medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-TALK is our number. And this item about tattoos should have you concerned. You know, my experience with tattoos really comes from two different eras. One is the era before I was born, when tattoos were very popular. And I worked at the VA Administration Hospital in New York, and all the vets, the Navy vets, the Marine vets, the Army vets, they had a lot of tattoos, but these were older, sick guys for the most part. There were a few women in those days, but the military was mostly guys, and their tattoos looked really lousy, because when you're a big, muscular 23-year-old, and you end up in a bar in wherever, Honolulu or Singapore, and you get a little drunk, juiced up, and you go in for a tattoo. It looks pretty good for a while, but 40, 50, 60 years later, it doesn't look so good. Your skin is flabby and flaccid, and the ink fades and runs, and it just doesn't look great. And to my surprise, I mean, my generation relatively spared the tattoo frenzy, the baby boomers. It was not big. It was not big in our generation. You know, maybe, you know, some like motorcycle gang, bikers. Okay. Yeah. But most folks didn't get a lot of lurid tattoos. But now it's real common among young people. It's routine. In fact, I see young women, men walking down the street wearing sleeveless T-shirts, and they've got sleeves of tattoos all the way down, you know, from their shoulders to their wrists, in multiple colors, and it looks good. But you know, what's it going to look like 40, 50 years hence? It is an irrevocable decision. And now, researchers from Germany suggest that there may be some real health consequences. The elements that make up the ink in tattoos travel inside the body in micro and nanoparticle forms and reach the lymph nodes. Okay, so there's two ways that the ink and coloring get in your body. One is via just the skin surface, so they can penetrate for, you know, maybe a few millimeters into the skin and just sit there, okay? And that gives you the appearance of the tattoo, the coloration of the tattoo, but that, you know, doesn't so much, I guess a little bit gets in your bloodstream. But what's of concern is that the body has little Pac-Man type defenses that when a foreign body enters the body, these little Pac-Man defenders, the macrophages, try to gobble up the invader. And where do the macrophages retreat to? Well, they retreat to the lymph nodes. And so the researcher here says when someone wants to get a tattoo, they're often very careful in choosing a parlor where they use sterile needles that haven't been used previously. That's a no-brainer because you can get hepatitis, you can get AIDS. I mean, yeah, you got to go to a certified parlor, and certainly they use disposable needles, and they exercise proper sterile precautions so that they're not transmitting disease. But no one checks the chemical composition of the colors. But our study suggests that maybe they should. Most tattoo inks contain organic pigments, which are, okay, maybe compatible with the body, don't cause harm, but also include preservatives and contaminants like nickel, chromium, manganese, or cobalt. And one of the worst elements in tattoos is titanium dioxide. It's a white pigment that is usually mixed with other shades to produce an effect. It's also used in food additives, by the way, sunscreens and paints, and it's an irritant. Delayed healing along with skin elevation and itching are often associated with white tattoos. And what they found was they found evidence of the migration of titanium dioxide to the lymph nodes. They found a broad range of particles up to several micrometers in size in human skin. But they also found some in the lymph nodes, and this could cause chronic enlargement of the lymph node after lifetime exposure. So the scientists report strong evidence for the travel and long-term deposition of toxic elements and tattoo pigments, not just in the adjacent skin, but in the lymph nodes and hence throughout the body. So here's a proposition. If you're maybe, you know, a guy thinking of marrying a gal, having kids, if the gal has a lot of tattoos, do you really want to put a lot of ink pigment into your baby? I mean, think about it. We're so careful about what we eat and drink, but we deliberately apply tattoos under our skin, into our bodies? Not a great idea. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. These days, I seem to be eating a lot of mangoes, and, you know, I like them. They taste good. But are they good for you? Well, it turns out a lot of the things that I like dark chocolate and coffee, the decaf kind, that is, turn out to be really good for you. So in a moment, I'll share with you some health data on mangoes. But before we do that, let's talk to Jeff. Let's talk to Jeff. Welcome.
I suffered a concussion in January of this year, and I'm having after effects. The doctor wanted to do a spinal tap and remove spinal fluid to relieve pressure on the brain. That was his theory. My theory is the body will reproduce the spinal fluid. My question is, how long will it take to reproduce the spinal fluid he wants to take out?
Okay. Well, post-concussion syndrome, I mean, this is getting a lot of a lot of airtime these days in relationship to the NFL, but also, you know, just high school soccer and football programs, because a lot of our kids and young athletes are suffering concussions, and now we're realizing that concussions can have some really serious long-term consequences. It used to be, you know, hit your head, and they said, you know, suck it up and get out there and play. Now there's some concussion protocols that make it very, very, you know, we're very cautious about having athletes and student athletes go back out there on the playing field. So a concussion in an older individual can be more problematic because there is a condition called hydrocephalus that can sometimes occur in the wake of a head injury. Of course, I mean, the most immediate concern is there an intracranial bleed? That can be really dangerous and can result in death. It's called a subdural hematoma. And that's why if you hit your head, you better be pretty careful about getting to a doctor and getting checked out. Especially if, you know, you just have some weird symptoms like nausea and so on and disorientation, and particularly if you're on blood thinners, which render it much more likely that you'll have intracranial bleed. But in your case, it sounds like an ordinary run-of-the-mill concussion. And one of the theories, like I say, it's excess water on the brain. Okay, that's hydrocephalus. And the idea is to kind of tap you like a maple tree and pull out some of that excess fluid, and maybe, just maybe, relieving the pressure will relieve your symptoms. Well, that's a little bit of a shot in the dark, and I'll tell you why. I mean, there's a possibility it might relieve your symptoms. There's also a possibility it won't, and there's even a possibility that will exacerbate your symptoms, because people who've had spinal taps sometimes develop the most wicked kind of headache, very severe headache. Takes a long time to abate. And therefore, I would do this spinal tap only if it was a very, very last resort. Among the things that seem to be helpful for post-concussion, and usually it's best to start these early, is fish oil at high doses. And you can only start fish oil at high doses if you're sure there's not a bleed, because if there's a bleed, the fish oil will thin your blood more, and that can be dangerous. But fish oil at, I mean, truly heroic doses, 9, 12, 15 fish oils a day. It's part of a concussion protocol that you can find at BHRI, Brain Health Recovery Institute. They have done some preliminary research. They've tried to sell it to the military. I'm not sure if the military has adopted it, but a lot of soldiers get concussions and head injuries, IED injuries, and it really should be employed by the armed forces. But at the very least, it's something you can undertake on your own. The other thing, and they've actually done research on this, is something we talk about frequently here, nicotinamide riboside, or Niacel, N-I-A-C-E-L. We like it for enhancing energy. It helps to produce NADH. It prevents neurodegeneration. And it also is helpful for post-concussion syndrome. Which is, I mean, just by virtue of the fact that it's got a name, post-concussion syndrome, means that you're not just out there as one of the only rare instances of this. It's a real common phenomenon. The other thing that has been shown to be helpful, and this is a little bit of a reach because it's unclear whether insurance is going to cover it, and it could be expensive, but it's hyperbaric oxygen. Taking high-pressure oxygen, a series of treatments can actually help with brain repair. Other things like EGCG from green tea and curcumin, they have anti-inflammatory effects. They may be beneficial as well for the brain. So there you have it. You know, some of the strategies that I would employ if you were to consult me. You know, I try to optimize recovery with some of the things that are actually intelligent medicine solutions. Okay, so mangoes. I find myself, you know, they taste good, and they're available, especially in summer months. I guess they're available year-round because they come from tropical places where the sun shines all year long, and I guess you can get decent mangoes in midwinter. And yeah, they're sweet, and yeah, they're probably a little caloric, but in the May issue of Food and Function, there's a comprehensive review of the available scientific literature pertaining to mangoes. And some of this comes in a form of a press release, by the way, full disclosure, from the National Mango Board. It's got a website at www.mango.org. So who knew? But what they're saying here is that mangoes contribute a number of valuable nutrients, including vitamin C, vitamins A, and fiber, for just 100 calories per one cup serving. So, yeah, that's a fair amount of calories, but not that caloric. They also contain certain beneficial phytochemicals, including something called mangiferin. Sounds like mango, right? It's a phytochemical unique to mangoes. Phenolic acids, carotenoids, gallotannins, which are associated with a number of health-promoting activities, including anti-inflammatory benefits, antioxidant benefits, anti-diabetic and anti-obesity, and even anti-cancer benefits. So, according to Dr. Britt Burton Freeman of the Center for Nutrition Research, he says, not only are mangoes one of the popular fruits in the world, they contain a variety of essential nutrients and distinctive bioactive compounds that may play a role in supporting key metabolic functions, including anti-inflammatory activity. So they've done 7-year human trials. 5 studies looked at people with type 2 diabetes. So you think, well, sugary fruit for people with type 2 diabetes? Well, maybe, you know, there could be benefits. Research suggests that mango consumption may modulate glucose response in people with diabetes. So they're also, mango supplementation was observed to reduce risk factors for cardiovascular disease, such as total cholesterol, and to improve the ratio of total cholesterol to HDL and the ratio of total cholesterol to triglycerides, as well as glucose concentrations in a couple of studies. And how that might work is one study looked at the effect of mangoes on gut bacteria, and it created a balance of bacteria that has been associated with reduced obesity and improved metabolic outcomes. This has to do with the ratio we talked about earlier in hour one of between bifidobacteria and Akkermansia bacteria, and that ratio can determine whether you're fat or thin, diabetic or non-diabetic. So the fiber compounds, the phytochemicals, all these may be beneficial. So this always happens. You know, stuff that I like, I can always find a scientific rationale for why that may be good for you, as with chocolate and all that decaf I guzzle. And let me just lift a cup of decaf, and I'm doing myself a solid by drinking this stuff. And this week, a study comes to us that evaluates menopause hormone therapy. And, you know, menopause hormone therapy, hormone replacement therapy, or HRT, got a bad rap back in, I guess it was the early 2000s, when the Women's Health Initiative study, WHI study, came out saying that women who took hormone replacement therapy had a higher risk of cardiovascular events. And so, as a result, and also in fear that these hormones might promote cancer, which is a real concern, because, you know, women normally have a cessation of their hormone production between 45 and 55, and if you just go on and on and on and stimulate the breasts or the uterus with hormones, potentially you could increase the risk of cancer, right? So that caused a lot of women to precipitously go off their hormone replacement therapy. They got scared. But now they're reevaluating it. And in the largest study to date on the relationship between menopause hormone therapy and premature death, they're letting hormone replacement therapy off the hook. For the study, researchers looked at data on 27,000 women aged 50 to 79, And what they found was that death rates were similar among women who took hormones and women who didn't. So the hormones didn't prevent death, but they also didn't increase death. And, you know, there may be some exceptions. There may have been women who might have had a cancer diagnosis that was hastened by the hormone replacement therapy. But that was balanced out by women who may have benefited from the hormones. And so the current study should ease concerns raised by earlier results from the Women's Health Initiative trials in 2002 that an increased risk of breast cancer or heart attacks might translate into long-term higher risk of dying if you take hormones. So, you know, I've long been a proponent of hormone replacement therapy, not for everyone, because not every woman needs it. Not every woman will benefit from it. It can be a hassle because you do need more checkups, more medical follow-up, and you have to purchase and take the pills or the creams. But it can improve quality of life. It can also optimize health for many women. And if you do it right, and if you're careful, it doesn't cause any harm, according to the latest study. So that's very reassuring. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, and our number is 877-726-8255 for calls.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest-fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And we got a call from Patricia in East Northport, New York. Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm okay. My question
is there a difference? Is there a difference between East Northport and Northeastport? I'm just kidding.
Yes. No, East Northport is on Long Island.
Okay.
So, and near Huntington? You should know because you're in the city, right?
Yeah, you know, I know Northport, but then there's like a little segment of it that's the east part of Northport. I guess that's the better side
that's
of the tracks,
me.
Right? That's the better
no,
side.
No, yes, it's like south of Northport.
So East Northport is south of North. Okay, now I'm
correct.
Now I'm really confused. Okay, go ahead.
All right. I'm calling about urinary tract infections. Now, I have a pessary since 2008 for prolapsed bladder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, some of the urologists and other doctors think that was the cause of my constant urinary tract infection.
Oh, it is. It is. There's no question because, I mean, hang on for a second. Having a dropped bladder causes your bladder to retain urine, and that is a prime cause of urinary tract infections. Plus, when you're postmenopausal and you lose your hormones, your defenses are down, and it sort of weakens your defense against infection. And just and the presence of the foreign body, you know, the pessary, which kind of keeps things in. It's actually one of the oldest medical devices in the world. You can find them in the tombs of the ancient Egyptians, been used for thousands of years. The pessary, it's a foreign body, and it can actually create a higher risk for infection. So you're set up for problems.
Well, I take it out every day and clean it. But at any rate, I started getting the urinary tract infections in 2013. Up until that time, I never had any in my life. And it was constant. And I kept going to different urologists. So it was on and on and on. And finally, I got methamphetamine, which I'm still taking. Now, that was one of my questions. I'm not sure. I don't like taking it. It's the only medication that I take. And
it's
it does cause a bladder disinfectant.
It's a bladder disinfectant,
Is it? Is it dangerous? Would it cause a bladder cancer? Because it changes to formaldehyde when it's in your bladder.
Yeah,
so I was worried about that.
That's a little bit of a concern. Sure, yeah, formaldehyde is not a great compound to have in your body day in and day out. That's not great.
Okay, so I've been taking it for years, and then it wasn't really that helpful. But anyway, what I did was I added other things by research, mostly on your website and so on.
Okay.
And I take CranMax 500 milligrams twice a day, D-mannose. And probiotic. Now, the mannose, I want to know how much, because I've been taking it for a couple of years, and I want to know how much exactly.
Sure. What form do you take it in, pills or powder?
Powder.
Okay. So the powder, I mean, it kind of depends. For prevention, it generally works at a half teaspoon two or three times daily. How much do you take?
I was taking 2 teaspoons. It was fortunate. It's costing me so much.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it is. And what that suggests is that you have a real high susceptibility to urinary tract infections because D-mannose helps many of our patients. For example, patients who have what's called atonic bladder due to MS. They don't really properly empty their bladders. And that can be helpful for those patients.
Well, I don't get it anymore. I haven't had a bladder infection for 2 years, so I figured it out. The only problem is I don't know if I should take methamphetamine, if I can quit taking it, because
there's one way to tell. You know, if you stop that and you're taking all these other things, let's see if you get infections. Let's see if you still get infections, because it may be that using these natural methods, you're preventing the infections, and you're just taking. You're afraid to take away the trainer wheel, which is, you know, like when kids are riding their bikes and they can ride their bikes, they keep the trainer wheels on for too long. Try without the medication and see if you're susceptible to infection. Or better yet, before you get an infection, just, you know, for several months, get, a urinalysis every month or so and see if bacteria is accumulating in your bladder. The other thing you can use as an infection comes up, but you can't use it really a long time, is Uva-Ursi. Uva-Ursi is potentially toxic if you use it for more than, I'd say a month or so. So you can use it as, you know, when infection is brewing, if you want to knock it out, but you can't use it continuously. You can use D-mannose, you can use cranberry. Actually, I prefer the cranberry concentrate. It's kind of a thick concentrate that you buy at the health food store. Hain makes a good form of it,
and that's what provides this says. It says cranberry whole fruit concentrate. That's what it says on the. It's life extension.
Is it a bottle or is it a pill?
It's a pill.
Okay, so I think the pills are good. They're not bad, but you want even more bang for your buck. You can take the concentrate. That's a liquid. You have to dilute it with water because it's kind of tart. So you can do that as well. So, you know, give it a try without the medication, because the medication sounds like, you know, it's a little harsh with the formaldehyde. Yeah, it'll suppress the bacterial growth, but it's not great.
I'm not happy with that. I was always unhappy with it.
So the other thing, just one final thing, and I got to go, is consider taking some topical estrogen. You know, there's a product called the S-Ring. I don't know if it's going to work if you have a dropped bladder, but a little bit of estrogen can actually revive the tissue there and make it less susceptible to infection. That's something that, you know, possibly your gynecologist has already suggested may or may not work for you. All right, thanks for calling, and thanks, folks, for listening. We had a great show. We invite you to check out our website at drhoffman.com, because there's lots more content there, lots of articles. There's all our podcasts. You can subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And finally, have yourselves a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.